As you look around, everything you see, God created it. In Psalm 19, King David wrote these words, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." But how often do you think of God in your everyday moments, you know, in those mundane times? Here's Douglas McKelvey.
If this is the true story of history, of what is revealed in Scripture, of God's plan, and if this is where it's going to this glorious end, then whether that moment is changing a diaper or planting a flower or filling out your taxes, it follows that every moment of our lives, no matter how mundane, finds its context within that storyline, that greater story of redemption.
If we believe God is in every moment of our lives, what should our response be? We'll talk about that today on this edition of Family Life This Week. Welcome to Family Life This Week. I'm Michelle Hill. Today, we are going to take a journey through prayer. And it's going to be a special day. So let's just begin right here.
Meet me, O Christ, in the stillness of this morning. Move me, O Spirit, to quiet my heart. Mend me, O Father, from yesterday's harms. Let me enter this new day, aware of my need, and awake to your grace, O Lord.
Prepare our souls for the sorrows and joys we will encounter, that every circumstance would serve only to draw us nearer to you.
May the light of that eternal city illuminate our hearts, our oaths, our vision, through these next hours, O Lord.
And so you must come repeatedly to the end of trust in your own strength, child. You must avail yourself again and again of his strength.
Walk with us now, O Lord, in the stillness of this tilled and quiet space, that when we venture again into the still greater garden of your world, we might be prepared to offer our lives as a true and nourishing provision to all who hunger for you.
Don't you feel more peaceful right now? Over a year ago, I was visiting a friend and her family on the East Coast, and I had just finished emceeing at an event and just was depleted and tired. And one morning, my friend Jenny handed me a book. This book is titled Every Moment Holy, and it's by Douglas McKelvey. And at first glance, it was just a book of prayers to guide me through my days and my life, but it's a book of liturgies. So let me just give you a little background on liturgies. It's actually a part of Sunday morning worship services where people read together. It could be a creed or scripture or even a simple prayer. Now, I know some think of this as something from the 1600s or too stuffy and, you know, but for people like me, it's a way of centering my mind on the most important thing that matters, God. This book, Every Moment Holy, I have used before going on stage, before reading a new book, or doing my laundry. God used this book to quiet my soul and refill my tank, because Douglas McKelvey is reminding us that every moment is sacred, every moment is holy. And I had a chance to sit down and talk with Douglas McKelvey about the importance of liturgy in our daily moments.
The church does have, you know, established and very well thought out and stated liturgies for many of those important things, those things that we would look at. You know, those kind of things have been addressed in terms of people thinking Christianly about them, bringing scripture to bear in framing those things and giving us a roadmap to walk through them. By looking at some of the more ordinary, mundane, pedestrian moments of our days. My hope was that by exploring those in the book, it would help me, it would reframe my vision. Mm. It would be a way of practicing an awareness of the presence of God, and that it would potentially serve other people in the body of Christ in the same way. Because we know, you know, in our head knowledge, if someone pushed us to say, is this true or false, I think most of us in the body of Christ would say, well, yeah, I know God is always with me. I mean, scripture tells me that. But I think we move through so much of our day-to-day lives without being aware of that.
Right. You know, I think it's interesting. We all have work that we have to do, and we need His hand to guide us. But there's too many days where I just get up and I just start doing what I need to do, and I just go through my day. And it's not that I don't think about Him, but I don't sit there and think through asking Him to come in. And that's really what I'm hearing from you, is that we need to be so mindful of who He is, and that He is in even these little moments, like the brewing of coffee.
It's part of the process of sanctification, which is not a sudden change, right? It's a slow daily process of being incrementally, gradually conformed more and more to the likeness of Christ. I think a helpful way to think of it is, think of how a child, like my youngest daughter, when she was 3 years old, she would dress in these outlandish tutus and ballet outfits and would, you know, kind of randomly flail around the room, pretending she was a dancer. I never thought to reprimand her and to tell her, what are you doing? You're not a dancer. You know, you're just a little kid flailing around. Mm-hmm. And the reason that, of course, I wouldn't say that to her is because I think we recognize that children playing at being a dancer, being a musician, being a mother or a father or a fireman or whatever it is, that they're exercising through their imagination possibilities that can become realities, right? And by 17, my daughter was an accomplished and graceful dancer.
Wow.
The process of sanctification, the process of becoming more engaged moment to moment in our relationship to God, more responsive to Him, more aware of how we want to become more like Christ. That's a gradual thing, and there is an element to it that sometimes is maybe like a child's play, where it's like we look at the person of Jesus in Scripture, and we see, oh, Jesus was like this. Jesus did this. I'm going to try to be more like that than the way I have been. Mm. And we're not going to do it perfectly.
Right.
But in the process of being mindful of it, we are becoming a little bit more like that. You know, that the possibility of being more like Jesus in that way becomes more real. And over time, as that process continues and plays out, we do become more mature as followers of Jesus.
Such insight from Douglas McKelvey. Isn't it exciting that God is maturing us? And as we spend more and more moments with Him, we are becoming more and more like Christ. It's in those everyday moments, like remembering Him in our evening hours. Here's a liturgy for nightfall.
Let our inability to ever perfectly love You, O God, drive us daily into the arms of Christ, wherein the enormity of Your mercy and the scandal of such grace lavished upon us would birth in us a new and greater desire to do that which pleases You. Somehow, use even our weaknesses for Your glory.
Thank you. That was a liturgy for nightfall. You know, as I've read Douglas's book and listened to him talk, I was reminded how God washes us with his Spirit when we mindfully sit in his presence and ask him to enter each of our moments. Like the planting of plants. It may seem simple, but remember the passage in Matthew where Jesus says not to worry about our days, but to consider the lilies of the field. You know, everything in our life points back to God. He created it all. He maintains it all. And yet, he invites us in through the act of gardening.
O Creator who calls forth life, may this ground and our labors here invested yield good provision for the nourishing of both body and soul. Lord, let our labors in this garden be fruitful. Lord, let our labors in this garden be blessed. Walk with us now, O Lord, in the stillness of this tilled and quiet space, that when we venture again into the still greater garden of your world, we might be prepared by the long practice of your presence to offer our lives as a true and nourishing provision to all who hunger for mercy and hope and meaning, a true and nourishing provision to all who hunger for you.
As I have been listening to you today talk, I'm just reminded that we need to be mindful of who God is during those times and how he has given us those good things. I do have your book, and I read through the liturgy for planting of plants or planting of a garden. And so now as I go back, I look through my garden and I'm like, God has given me these plants for beauty, and it's for his beauty. And I am creating a sanctuary, but really it was him that created the sanctuary. And just always reframing things to think about him.
I think it is. I think it really is about reframing, and not just reframing for the sake of coming up with you know, an outlook or a vision that is a little more pragmatically useful or successful for us. But it's really about looking at the totality of Scripture and the revelation of God's story of redemption, of where we began in the garden, and then, you know, the fall that threw everything into chaos and toil and sin and strife and suffering, but then where it's heading, you know, to this redemption and restoration, this thing that is so good that we dare not even let ourselves believe it, because it seems too good to be true. And yet it is true that all of the sad things are going to come untrue. Mm. That there is no good thing in creation, in our lives, that will be forever lost. Those things will all be remade, restored, redeemed, and find their fulfillment and their true identity in the new heavens and the new earth. And so we have this magnificent story. You know, it's like a fairy tale, mm-hmm. of this king who, you know, has promised to come back and set all things right and initiate this reign of eternal peace and joy and human flourishing and fruitfulness and you know, restore completely the relationship of God and man and creation. And so it's in that context that every moment of our lives is lived, right? Whether that moment is changing a diaper or planting a flower or filling out your taxes or, you know, standing in church and joining in congregational worship. If we truly believe that all of life is lived under the gaze of God and he is sovereign, and everything that happens to us, God redeems and turns into an invitation for us to draw closer to him, then if this is what we believe is true, if this is the true story of history, of what is revealed in Scripture, of God's plan, and if this is where it's going to this glorious end, then it follows that every moment of our lives, no matter how mundane, finds its context within that storyline, that greater story of redemption.
Now grant us strength and grace, O God, sufficient to the remains of the day, that we might move through its unfolding in humble obedience to your will, and in sensitivity to your spirit, and in joyful expectancy of your coming kingdom. May the light of that eternal city illuminate our hearts, our oaths, our vision, through these next hours, O Lord.
That's the liturgy for midday. We've been talking with Douglas McKelvey about his book, Every Moment Holy. And you know, it's important to remember that every moment that we live is not wasted by our Creator. We need to keep our minds on Him at all times. And that's hard because we are forgetful people. We easily get distracted and we look away from Him. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, I want to continue talking about this using of liturgy and prayer over the mundane things to keep our minds centered on God. Stay tuned.
Billy Graham said that prayer is a two-way conversation between you and God.
For Family Life Blended, here's Ron Deal.
I strongly encourage you to pray for your family on a daily basis. And here's one thought you might add to your conversation with God. God, may the hearts of our blended family be open to receiving one another. Just as you have adopted us as your children, may the members of our step family adopt one another as family. Scripture confirms in Romans 8 that those who are led by the Spirit have been adopted as sons and daughters of God. God has opened his heart toward us in loving kindness. So pray that the members of your home will also open their hearts toward one another. It's awesome to be adopted by God. And it's awesome to adopt one another in love. For Family Life Blended, I'm Ron Deal.
To find out more, visit familylifeblended.com.
I can't move anything.
Did the doctor express any hope?
I'm pretty sure she's going to come off of the ventilator. And beyond that, hope is discouraged.
Sometimes God leads us on very difficult paths.
Is God still good, whether someone walks again or not?
On the Unfavorable Odds podcast, Kim Anthony talks with guests who have faced extraordinarily difficult circumstances.
That was really the last meaningful conversation I'd ever had with my three-year-old child.
How should we respond when the events of life leave us despairing?
Lord, please let me go home to heaven to be with you now. I cannot do this.
In the midst of our despair, there is still strength and hope found in Jesus.
I heard that my worst nightmare had occurred, and it was so surprising to me what came out of my mouth.
You can find the Unfavorable Odds podcast with Kim Anthony wherever you get your podcasts, or go to familylife.com/podcasts.
Welcome back to Family Life this week. I'm Michelle Hill. Have you ever been fearful? And, you know, when you're fearful, someone's going to counsel you with these words from 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. But how do you get there? How do you take God's words and really implant them in your heart? But one way may be a liturgy. Here's one for fear of failure.
Under the Spirit's tutelage, such fears might become messengers of grace, revealing to you only what was true all along. In yourself, you do not have the strength or the wisdom or the ability to accomplish the task to which you are called. And so you must come repeatedly to the end of trust in your own strength, child. You must avail yourself again and again of His strength. Use then, O Lord, even my failures, and my fears of failing, to advance your purposes in my heart and in your kingdom and in this world. My confidence is only in you. Amen.
Today we are taking some time to reframe our minds and our thoughts and remembering that God is in the little things. And we're taking some time to look at prayer and liturgy today. From my vantage point, I'm watching young people being pushed and pushed to do great things rather than just maybe being. I'm not looking out and saying, you know, how we're pressing in on them is necessarily wrong, but there's no lax for just having an ordinary life.
Yeah, and my wife and I have had a number of conversations over the years about that very thing, especially as our girls were teenagers, because there are people who I think are very well-meaning, but who do give this message to kids that you have to be doing great things for God. You need to go take your high school for Christ. That's an awful lot of pressure mm-hmm. on a kid, right? When what God is calling us to as his children has a lot more to do with that learning of day-to-day faithfulness and obedience in the small things, in the tending of the relationships in our amongst our families, our friends, our you know, the other kids at school, our communities. And that faithfulness in the Christian walk is about learning to love people with a Christ-like love in those contexts. And, you know, that same kid who's feeling this pressure that, okay, what does this even mean, take my high school for Christ? But it's being told that they need to be doing something other and more spectacular than what they're doing. The real battle in their heart might be to be patient and loving with their little sister. That might be that epic cosmic spiritual battle line is drawn in their life. They might not have the maturity to, or the gifting as an evangelist or whatever it might mean to take their school for Christ. But God is clearly calling them to love their family and, you know, to be a faithful witness in the context of the relationships that he has entrusted them with.
And I think that's a good word for all of us, because I know in my life and in many of my friends' life, we feel like we have to push so hard and meet this certain standard when God is asking us to love him and love others above all and to love him first and to have that relationship, that tight relationship with him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I'm speaking from my own experience as well. I can look in Scripture and see that the call to love with a Christ-like love is clearly there. It's front and center.
Yeah.
And it's going to take me my whole life just to kind of stumble partway down that path from where I am. So maybe I need to let go of these other things that I think or that I've thought for so long that this is what the Christian life needs to look like and say, God, those are in your hands. I mean, however you want to use me in my life, I'm okay with. But I'm going to quit seeking all these things because I suddenly see so clearly that I'm just not even at all like Jesus in the way I treat people, in the way that I make people feel. And that's where I need to start, you know? That's what doing a great thing for God would look like in my life, is just that I become a more compassionate, empathetic, caring, loving, merciful, kind, forgiving human being who extends grace to the people around me.
us clarity, creativity, and discernment. Prepare our souls for the sorrows and joys and celebrations and disappointments we will encounter, that every circumstance would serve only to draw us nearer to you.
Wow. Thanks to Douglas McKelvey for joining me today and sharing with us just how God is in those little moments and how we can welcome God in and serve him with our life while we're doing those small things like brushing our teeth or doing our laundry or paying our bills. Because actually, if you have money in your checking account to pay your bill, that's because God gave you a job and he is providing for you. And that's a very good thing. And so today has been refreshing for me to remember how God cares for us. And I hope today has been refreshing for you too. A few weeks ago, Ron Deal and I started a conversation about loss and suffering and building a community to help each other through those hard times. There is so much to be said, so Ron and I are going to pick up where we left off and discuss the loss of a loved one. And this is something that Ron can speak into because he and his wife, Nan, lost their 12-year-old son, Connor. So I hope you join us for that conversation. It will be a meaningful conversation filled with help and even hope. That's on the next Family Life this week. Hey, thanks for listening today. I want to thank the president of Family Life, David Robbins, along with our station partners around the country. A big thank you to our engineer today, Keith Lynch. Thanks to our producer, Meredith Empey. Justin Adams is our mastering engineer with the help of Meredith Empey. And Megan Martin is our production coordinator. The liturgies today were read by my friends, Megan, Shannon, Christy, Grant, Jim, and Zion. Our program is a production of Family Life Today, and our mission is to effectively develop godly families who change the world one home at a time. I'm Michelle Hill, inviting you to join us again next time for another edition of Family Life This Week.